Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. They're going to throw some chairs up here on the platform for me, and I'm going to invite my guest up here in just a second. I'm going to remind us, we're in our 21st century series we've been in, trying to show the relevance and practical application of God's Word. He didn't leave you and I to have to guess and figure out everything about everything, and so thank God for that. There's explicit truths, and there's a lot of implicit help as well. I want you to join me in Colossians 3 for a second tonight. We're going to give a little bit of a runway or launch pad, whatever you prefer there, out of Colossians 3. Tonight, I'm particularly speaking, obviously, to everybody, and we thank God for His Word, but tonight we're speaking to young adults, particularly in their 20s, in their teens, and below that even. We want to be an aid and a help if possible. And so I want us to look at Colossians 3 and see how God has changed you as a new man, new woman in Christ, and how that matters on a daily basis in the marketplace or the workforce, whatever word you prefer there. Look at Colossians 3. It's in the New Testament. Just Google Colossians 3. Christ here is talking about how we what we have in Him. Paul has writing here to us saying, here's what you have in Christ. If you're risen with Christ, you seek those things which are above, verses 1 through 5. But knowing that and understanding that, he then calls us to put off and put on. And one of the things that he itemizes here in the transformation of Jesus is how it changes you as a worker or as a leader, as a boss. Whatever your title, you've been changed, you've been transformed by Jesus. Now, I want you to catch this here in Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 22. Colossians 3, verse 22, note what he says here. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but catch this, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done, and there is no respect of persons. Here Paul outlines the difference between Christian slaves and Christian masters as their context was. We don't have time for it. We've addressed it another time in our series in Colossians. Let's remember here that slavery in ancient Near Eastern times is not akin to what we experienced here in our own country, sadly, throughout the Civil War before and then after even. So let's understand slavery was still there, just and unjust, in New Testament times. But note the transformation God says to both parties when it comes to who you are and what you are, when it comes to the working environment. He says that we have been changed. Now, being transformed by Christ should affect everything you do as a worker. Did everybody hear that? It should affect everything you do as a worker. I don't care if you're flipping burgers or cashing million-dollar checks. And if you're cashing million-dollar checks, just remember me. That's all I'm asking, right? Just remember me. It doesn't matter. If you're a follower of Christ, the title, it's nice, it's great, whatever your title is. The job, hey, that's great. But your biggest contribution, your biggest significance, it's not about your title or your paycheck. It's being transformed by Christ and that affecting you as a worker. Hear me, friends. It affects what you do, how you do it, who you do it for, and why you do it. Now, catch this, apart from Christ, sure there can be hard workers. Apart from Christ, there can be successful people. Apart from Christ, there can even be people who seem to be generous or a help in the workforce. But let's never forget, if they aren't transformed by Christ, the answers to all the questions we just talked about, who are you working for? Why are you working? How are you working? What are you doing? Those end up being problematic, temporal, and self-centered. That's what happens apart from Christ in the workforce. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, should recognize the answers to those questions. What are we doing in the workplace? We're to be good workers. From Genesis onward, that's proclaimed over and over. Work happened pre-fall, didn't it? That's where some of the brothers and sisters who are older could just give a big amen, especially to help the younger generation. Work happened pre-fall, didn't it? I said work happened pre-fall. Amen. There we go. I'm not trying to nag, and I won't take long because I could nag all night here. Younger generation, work is not a curse. Work is not a problem. Difficulty at work is due to the curse of sin, but work isn't a curse. So my brothers and sisters, embrace doing work. Embrace doing hard things. I get every generation maybe critiques the next generation below it, but embrace the idea of working. But not only working, ask how are you to do it. According to Paul here, what kind of worker should you be? One that's known for being late? One that's known for being lazy? One that's known for only doing just enough to get by and not be given any responsibility or authority or leadership? No, he says do it what? Do it heartily. You're to do it to the best of your stewardship capacity. You don't have to be better than everybody else, but you need to do the best that you humanly can and keep advancing as best you can, as far as your education allows, as far as your context allows. You keep advancing. Who do we do it for? We do it as unto the Lord. I have clean toilets as unto the Lord. I had to clean a men's dorm at OU as unto the Lord. I don't know if it gets much worse than that. I'm sure it does. Right? You, whatever you do, you're doing it for a who more than just a what. Her earthly people do it what? Or I should say unsaved people, their earthly goal is I'm doing it for a paycheck, for a vacation, for status, for promotion. We do it for a who. We do it as unto the Lord. It's to his glory and his praise to see us transform. And why do we do it? Because work is a conduit to show our faith and dependence upon the Lord as our provider. But beyond that and further than that, friends, it's a wonderful conduit for what? The gospel to be seen. I'm not going to shock anybody here with what I'm about to say. You want to shine in this world right now, in the average work environment? Be mediocre at best. Pastor, you just said do it heartily, you liar. I know. You be mediocre at best, you will shine. Not every context, but sadly more and more context will just be the cream of the crop, as they used to say, if you're just mediocre in what you do. But you and I are called way beyond that. What are we called to? Heartily under the Lord. We're called with excellence and intentionality. No matter the kind of boss we have, no matter the kind of working environment we have, we're doing it as under the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about living to work. We're getting the wrong idea if that's our idea. Our idea is whatever we have within our capacity, within our stewardship, we're going to do it as unto the Lord. We're not doing it for raises. We're not doing it for prestige. We're not doing it to earn this or that. None of those things are wrong. Get that raise? Absolutely. Christians should be the people getting the raises. Christians should be the people, if possible, getting the promotions. Absolutely. Take all that you can to steward for the gospel 100%. But, who you do it for and why you do it is a distinguishing factor and a conduit for the gospel. You're not doing it to be a goody two-shoes. You have the opportunity over and over to bless others by being a testimony of the Lord's transformation. This is what the new man or new woman looks like in the workforce. Now, we'll get here in a second with our panel, but even when things aren't ideal at work, you still have grace from God to shine as a gospel witness. Even when you're overlooked, even when you're in a dead-end situation, you can still do it as unto the Lord. Listen, it would be fun to go around the room and hear all the jobs you've gotten to do as unto the Lord. And it would be interesting to see how menial tasks can be under the Lord, all the way to some of you may have had some big mover and shaker moments in your life as unto the Lord. It may help others. Thank God if it does. But it says unto the Lord, and you can do that. Now, with that said, you might say, okay, Pastor, practically what does that look like? I'd like to hear from people who've been living it and living it for a long time. I'd love to hear from them. So if you are going to be on this panel, if you'd mosey on up here to help us, you can, right now, you can mosey on up this way and help us. I asked a variety of men and women from different ages, different backgrounds. I could have asked, frankly, just to be an open mic, but I thought maybe it'd be helpful to ask people from different backgrounds, different times of life, different places they grew up in the U.S., just all those things to try to give us an aid and a help. And we have a few questions we're going to ask and they're going to answer. And to our young adult friends, listen and glean the older brothers and sisters' advice and wisdom here to you, all right? So, that said, we got some microphones. They're just going to wander around. I'll sit next to you, Tom. Here you go. Have a microphone. Congratulations. So we had a few questions we wanted to answer, and you can just chime in, my friends, as you desire to. There's not like a set order here to some degree. But let's see here. Our first question we wanted to talk about was this. You all represent different fields, different backgrounds, all that. I have an initial list of it we are kind of talking to. Let's start with this first one. What's your advice to approaching each day's work, considering what the Bible says about it being a gift, being new in Christ? How does that help you? What does that look like for you on a practical basis?
Jump in. So I pray for wisdom to balance doing my job well without being married to it 24/7. For me personally, it's a balance of trusting God with outcomes versus trusting myself and wanting total, complete control.
Okay, so for me, it was approaching every day was trying to get my mind set on how God would want me to handle the day. I would always try to walk in with a smile on my face so people wouldn't think, oh goodness, she hates this job. You know, I've had many different jobs been in the Army, but with a smile on my face and just trying to make sure whatever I did it to the best of my ability, because that was the way for me to honor God, was doing the best that I could do.
For me, when I start each day, I try to remember how often I fail God, and his mercy is new every day, and in every job that you're in, you're gonna have things that don't go your way. You're gonna get overlooked. People are not gonna be kind, and just, instead of holding on to that and getting bitter, I just focus on trying to love people the way that Christ loves and sees them. And so if I help kind of put myself in perspective that I'm constantly letting God down and coming back to him, and he is just gracious and merciful, then through him, he can give that to me for others so that I can have joy, not in each situation, but just in knowing that I'm just working for him, and that's all that really matters.
All right, let me ask all you this, because this is maybe not one I included in the initial list of questions to you, but consistently it seems like a challenge for every generation, and maybe it continues to become more ingrained every generation that goes forward, is what do you all do when you don't feel or didn't feel like going to work? You just woke up, you didn't sleep well, you're just feeling a little sour, you're feeling a little grumpy, you're feeling a little whatever. What do you do when you just don't feel like it?
You go.
any extra advice there? That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, that happened to me a lot, especially when I was ready to retire. But what I would do is every morning I would just ask God to give me peace, ask God to give me strength, ask God to give me wisdom throughout the day, right? Because I didn't want to display that attitude, you know. Now, if I wasn't feeling well, you know, and I went to work anyway, you know, people would notice. I was like, I'm just not feeling good today. It's okay, you know, kind of a thing. But when it was a mental thing, then I would try to pray through it. Or I wouldn't try. I would pray through it.
And then I also send texts to friends. Pray for me. I'm having a hard time today. And what's so great about having a good, strong church family is that you can just send those texts and you don't even have to explain anything. Middle of the day, you just be like, hey, really struggling, just pray for me. And then along with yourself praying, you just feel God working and you feel him just lifting you up in those times when circumstances and things are just beating you down.
I had a really good example from my parents of work ethic. They worked when they were sick, when they were tired, all the way up to their deathbed. But I had a boss back in about 2010, and this is what he told me, and it totally changed the way I thought about it. He called us all in, and I'm not going to say verbatim what he said because we're in church, but he said, let me explain something to you. We get up every day and we go to work. We don't get up and go to fun. If you got up and go to fun, then you would pay us. And it was about a 5-minute meeting, but the whole point was, it's called work for a reason, okay? And you quoted Colossians 3, right? Well, 1 Timothy 5, is it 1 Timothy 5 that says, if a man does not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel, okay? And it says also, and maybe it's 2 Thessalonians, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So I think you have to have the right mentality about what we're doing here. We're not going to just go have a good time and have a play date. It's actually work. It stinks at times. Everybody in here's had a bad day, right? And so I found that the way I approach it, if I can get up and get my Bible reading done before I go to work, it totally changes the way my day goes. I don't think there's a single day that goes worse when I read my Bible, right? So that's just my approach to it. We're going to work no matter what. We're going to get up. We're going to go do it. And you just have the right attitude about it, it generally goes better.
And I think along with that, starting each day with prayer. Starting each day, when I drive to work, I pray the whole time. No radio, no nothing. Pray the whole time. And when the girls started coming to school with me, we would all pray together in the car ride, and it just gets your mind right. It gets you focused on what is really important. And then also just having a servant heart and a teachable heart and ready and knowing that work is going to stink. It's not fun, and society tells you, find your passion and it'll never feel like work. That's a lie. That is a total lie. And just realizing that and knowing God can use those and teach you things and being open to those when those happen.
I always felt that it was my responsibility to be at work, and there were a lot of mornings when I roll over and go, I just can't do this today. But generally when I got up and my feet hit the floor and I started moving a little bit, I felt a little better. And then after I did my devotions, I felt better. Yep.
Oh, I wanted to add one other thing. I'm a list maker. So if I know that there are things that I need to get done from a practical perspective, I would, look forward to, okay, I know I got to get this done today. And it felt so good checking off my list, every day. So that's from a practical implementation perspective for me.
So to our young brothers and sisters in the faith, you've heard it. Work's a gift. Don't call in or call in, you crawl in. And it's just not going to be fun. Have a good night. Just kidding. But that's reality. Again, Miranda is right. Don't believe the lie being pitched out there. You'll never work a day in your life if you don't love what you do. I love being a pastor. There are days I've not liked being a pastor. Right? How many of you are married out there? How many of you love your spouse? How many of you have had days you haven't liked being with your spouse? Sure. I bet every hand should have gone up. My wife's not here. I can say whatever I want to. So she won't watch live stream. We're good here. So, yeah, that's unrealistic. The only thing that would make that possible is something clouding your judgment, some kind of substance, because that's just not reality. It's anti-God because it would act as if sin doesn't have a problem and a pull on us every single day. Let me throw this question out to everybody. Have you ever had an awful boss? How did you handle it as a Christian? You ever had an awful boss? How did you handle it as a Christian?
I learned over time, I got this from Charles Stanley, to view it all as coming from God. I accepted that the criticism that I was getting and the heat that I was feeling was needed to help me grow and improve. And when you realize that that comes from God and it's not meant to destroy you, to trip you up, it's not a setup to get you, it's more of an opportunity to humble yourself and grow, then you get a chance to take that information that's hurtful, perhaps, but needed, and then you can grow and improve. You have to view it as where it comes from. If you believe that God's really in control and in charge of it, then he has allowed it and permitted it for a reason, for his good and his glory.
That's awesome.
Anybody else?
I've been really fortunate. I've been really fortunate to not really have horrible bosses, but I have had bosses that I've had many disagreements with, and I never tried to call them out on what I thought should be different or whatever, but I would always make time to go into their office and talk to them and say, help me understand why we're doing this way. And a lot of times it's because I said so, but a lot of times it's like, well, there's a dialogue there and we have an opportunity. But I never forget the fact that I am not the boss.
For me, if I really haven't had any horrible bosses that I would say, not really even ones that I had big disagreements with. Stop that. yeah, but I've had bosses that I've had disagreements with, you know, at a time or two. And I would always try to remember, okay, I'm not going to go in there and curse them out. I'm not going to tell them what I think about them, because at the end of the day, I'm still a Christian. And I'm still trying to win people around me, right, by seeing how I behave. And plus, I had people under me, right? And I was like, well, I don't want them to act that way to me, so I'm not going to act that way to someone else. And one time, I think I was having a disagreement. It was a guy that I really, really revered. I thought he was one of the smartest guys I ever met. And I disagreed with his assessment of something. I think he either called me stupid or he called my idea stupid. But there was a worker that worked for me, and I didn't get upset. And all I said was, well, don't all have groupthink, and I've got my own opinion. And like 10 years later, the girl that worked for me at the time came back and said, I still remember how you handled that, and that is the way that I have handled every disagreement since. And I was like, wow, I didn't even think I was being impactful. I just knew I really wanted to curse him out, but I was a Christian, and I had to tamp that down. So it was just always trying to remember that people are looking at you. And at this one church, they used to say, you may be the only Christian people ever see. So live that out. And so that was my take whenever handling a difficult situation.
I'll say this. I've been with the same organization for about 31 years now. And I've had two that were really, I thought, I would say terrible people, but they were terrible bosses, and they weren't the best human beings either. And I handled it really poorly both times. My temperament's always been my Achilles heel. And I didn't handle it well, but what I learned, a couple things. Number one, I took the things that they were doing to make sure that when I was in a position of leadership, I didn't do the same things. But number two, guess what? God does work it out, okay? He does work it out, and he knows what we're going through. And I can say the same thing. I've been a bad boss before, where I've done stupid things, right? And had the right for somebody to call me stupid, and they would have been right on. But you got to remember, people are human too. We are, and they are. So I try to take, when I see a behavior from someone that I think is not good, and go, okay, I know how that made me feel. Let's make sure I don't pass that on down the line.
Similar to Daryl and Kathy, I haven't really had any terrible bosses, but several that I've kind of disagreed with or how they handled certain situations, because I'm a teacher, so how they handled a situation and what they did or didn't do. And I think the biggest thing as Christians is we are going to be known by our actions. When Jesus was talking to disciples about the false prophets, he said, you will know them by their fruit. And I think we can kind of take that. People will know who we really are when we are put in those tough situations. If we're gossiping over in the corner talking bad about the boss, or if we don't talk about it, there have been situations where things have happened and they're like, what happened? What did they say? Tell me everything. And it's like, it's all taken care of. It's fine. And the biggest thing is just going to them, not going to them with aggression, but going to them with questions. I'm wondering why you did this. I'm curious your thought process behind this. What do you think would have happened if we did this? How could we change that for next time? And I think just trying to come at it more as a partnership. It depends on your situation. Military, you probably can't be like, oh, let's be partners. It's more like, you're the boss. But at least in my field, we're there partnering together to help the kids. So just know your role, but then realize that how you act, and even if your boss doesn't like you, they're going to see that character in you, and they are going to respect that, and they'll end up coming back to you for things later because they know that you will be truthful and honest and respectful.
Let me ask you guys on that note then, how have you handled, if you ever face this, a moment with, as an employee, as a boss, a leader in an organization, in the military, whatever it might have been, where you were ethically conflicted as a Christian? How'd you handle it? What would you say to brothers and sisters who are going to face some of those conflicts along the way? Ethically, they're like, as a Christian, it was a tough moment. I had to figure out the right choice because I knew what I was being asked or pressured to do, fill in the blank.
I'll say this. Oh, sorry, Daryl. Go ahead, bud.
I was stationed at Misawa, Japan back in the 80s. And I coached the Little League baseball team on the base. And we had the opportunity to go up to Sapporo to play the local Japanese team. And all the coaches got together that night for a social. And one of the things in the Japanese culture was they like for you to, you know, do a little drinking. I insisted. I'm like, you know, I don't drink. I don't have any of that. And despite all of the objections and you're going to offend the culture and this, that, and the other, I was able to stand my ground. And mind you, I was only 22 at the time. So to be able to stand up to that kind of pressure, and it was a lot, that made me feel good, like I had accomplished something.
So I'll say this. When I read this question, I said something to see. I've never been put in a position where I had to make an ethical decision. And I got to thinking about how selfish I was. Praise God. 30 years in a business world, and nobody's ever asked me to do anything that I was uncomfortable with morally or ethically. And I was talking about it this afternoon, so I would just say praise God for that. I've never been, good for Daryl, because I've never been in that situation. I know plenty of people have. But what I would do is encourage you to do what the Bible says and not what man says. We ultimately, as it says, we work for God, not man.
So I've never had to make an ethical decision because I was always working in a classified environment, or I've never been asked to do something unethical. I've done something unethical and I turned myself in. And what I mean by that is, in a classified environment, all the ones I've in, you're not allowed to bring in your personal cell phones. I used to always bring in my personal cell phone because I would forget. And so, I mean, when you're working for the National Security Agency or the Pentagon, or you're going to the White House and stuff like that, I mean, you really can't do that. So a couple of times I did, I just forgot. And that's an ethical violation. So when I would get back or something, I would type them an email and say, you know, ooh, I brought my cell phone in today. So after the third time, they made me go back through security training. They're like, okay, look, Kathy, you got some mental issues happening because this should not be occurring, you know. So, but I felt like I had to do it. No one would have known if I would have just walked out of the building, you know, turn my ringer off, put it back underneath there, you know. And no one would have known, but I felt like I had to do that because as a Christian, I needed to. Plus, I had to keep taking what do they call polygraphs every 5 years, and they polygraphed you on everything. So that was just.
It's good. Anybody else?
I've never been asked to do anything unethical, but I've definitely been around people. I have several coworkers who curse like sailors, and makes you feel very uncomfortable, and then. Our new boss, one of his first emails that he sent out to everybody, he had some curse words in it, and it just pulls at you. And in those situations, because you make relationships with people, I was lucky enough to be able to go to them and to say, hey, would you mind, like, you have every right to say no to this, you have every right to speak the way that you speak, but would you be willing to not curse around me? It really bothers me. And there are always words that, even people who have the worst potty mouth, there are always words that are like, oh my goodness, that is terrible. So then I just, you know, kind of ask them, are there any words that you can't stand? Okay, well, that's kind of what those words feel like to me. So, and just, I've been very lucky to have people around me who respect me and who are able to kind of restrain themselves. And I think a lot of times as Christians go out into the workforce, I mean, everybody, everywhere, curse word, it's just how they talk, and God's name in vain, this and everything that. And I think just approaching it in a way that's not condescending, and it really, they gain respect for you, and you kind of can build that respect with them because they respect your wishes, and it also helps make the whole work environment a little less yucky.
Right. So let's ask this one then. Variety of backgrounds here. Has there been a time, you know, either you think or you can concretely know and prove that you being a Christian harmed or hindered your career? Meaning you got passed over for a promotion, or you were not included in certain planning because they didn't want to deal with you being a Christian, or whatever it might be. Has it ever been on your radar that following Christ has led to some kind of difficulty, discrimination, passing over, whatever it might be in your time, in your career?
I don't think of any of those situations that I have been subject to. My advice for everyone would be, don't be in a hurry. Trust God's timing and wait, because doors will open very unexpectedly and very surprisingly for things to work out that you would not expect, and he'll sustain you as you go through that as well. But you won't see it coming.
I'm going to answer the opposite of that question. So there's never been a time in my career where I have been hindered because I was a Christian. But I know that it's only been God because of some of the advances that I've had because I'm a Christian. And one of the ones that Andrew reminded me of today is, Mom, I use this as a testimony all the time. You worked at the Pentagon in 2001, and you left 2 months before the planes hit. And I was like, I never thought about it that way. She said, had you not listened to God and gone to Kansas, you would have been there. Because I still had a year left on my tour at the Pentagon. And my assignments people called and said, well, do you want to stay another year or do you want to leave now and cut your tour short? I said, well, I'll leave now and cut my tour short. And a friend of mine, she was in Kansas with me when the planes hit. We'd only been there for 2 months. When the planes hit in her office, and she lost her boss and some friends because it hit directly where she worked. I worked on the other side of the Pentagon, so it wouldn't have hit my area, but I would have been there. So that's just a blessing. And there have been so many times where I know it was the hand of God that like saved me. We had an accident on the Autobahn in Germany. And in Germany on the Autobahn, you know, there's no speed limit. And it was just me and one soldier driving me, and she hit the median. And all these cars were coming around us, and nobody hit us. And this was on the Autobahn, and we were both Christians. So we were like, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The whole time. So I know because of Christ that I have been saved from things.
Jim, in my position, I never raise my hand for promotions. I just let it come because God's got that under control. But I can't tell you how many times, and specifically my position, the compensation plan changes every year, every other year. And C will tell you, I'm done. I'm going to go drive a truck. I'm getting out of here. I'm just sideways. It always worked out. And she'll say that too. She'll be like, has it ever not worked out? Okay. And you get caught up in the short term. And who's doing what? God knows where you need to be when you need to be there. So if you're a young adult and you're starting your career, I'd give you this advice. Do everything they ask you to do. Do the things they don't ask you to do. I share this story. They asked me to tell it at work. I guess it got out. My third week on the job, I was 23 years old. They asked me to go to Las Vegas and set up a convention, which I didn't know anything about anything 3 weeks into the job. And I said, great. I said, how do I get a plane ticket? I just started. And my vice president, this was one of the bad ones, threw me a set of keys. I was living in Houston. I said, well, what am I gonna do with these? I want you to drive a truck to Las Vegas, a box truck, full of about $10 million worth of computer equipment, through the Hoover Dam, through all that. And I said, okay, when does this train leave? He said, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And he looked at me and he said, are you in or you out? And that was my choice. And I always say I'm in, right? And so I drove the truck the next day, all the way to Vegas. There was another truck behind me with two guys in it. Didn't know how to plug a computer in, didn't know what I was doing. But I didn't think to say no. And I'm not picking on the younger generation, but I'm telling you, if you guys step up and you do the things that no one else wants to do, I've made a pretty darn good career out of doing crummy things that nobody else wants to do and polishing it up and making it look pretty, okay? And it's work, and it stinks at times. Getting to Vegas at midnight and going straight to the convention center, we set up midnight to 8 a.m. Union run us off the floor, people yelling at us, asking me to load software, but I was always willing. God blessed me with a willingness to work, okay? So I would advise the younger generation, it's stand up for what you believe in as a Christian. You know, praise God for that. But Miranda said something earlier. How you treat other people and the things that come out of your mouth will be noticed, okay, by everyone. And if you have a crummy work ethic and you're not good at what you do, it doesn't matter how many times you present the gospel to them, they're going to see you as not an effective associate. Okay? Again, I'm not preaching to you, but say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay? Those kind of things are lost on society today. Go to a restaurant and open a door and watch somebody walk right in and not say thank you. Those things will separate you from other people. Brother Paul said it. The competition's not too tough these days, okay? So if you stand up, you're going to stand out. And I would just encourage you to do that and treat people the way Christ treats us. I think that's the message.
No, you're great. So on that note, if you had one thing, or more than one thing, but one thing you could encourage the younger generation with, if you were going to walk away and say, I really want them to know this. This is something that's helped me, something that's encouraged me, either from the Lord, about work, about using the Bible to make decisions at work, whatever it is, if you're going to tell the younger generation in their 20s, in their teen years something, what would you tell them? Everybody gets to speak.
Show up on time. I don't know if that was drilled into me from being 20 years in the Army and working at various things, but people who worked for me, I would tell them, show up on time. On time is 10 minutes before you're supposed to be here.
Amen.
So, I mean, you know, that would be the only thing that would really irk me, is if someone showed up late to a meeting and not have a reason for it, or showed up late to work. So please just, being on time is 90% of the battle, if you can just get there.
You have more opportunities than you realize in your workplace as a Christian, without even being overtly Christian. You know, folks would come up to me all the time and say, is this okay? Is this going to offend you if we do this? Without me ever even telling them that I was a Christian. So people notice who you are. Don't be afraid to be who you are in Christ in the workplace. Okay? So that would be my advice.
Kind of going along with that, as a Christian in the workplace, you are going to feel lonely and left out often, depending upon where you work. Personal experience, my whole team, we just now have another Christian that came into the first grade, but all the rest of them, they have book club together, and I'll ask them what book they're reading, and they're like, you don't want to hear about it. It's like, okay, you're right, I probably don't want to hear about it. But you will feel left out, you will feel secluded, you will see the people around you who are supposed to be your team doing things. There was one year where I said, are we wearing like matching shirts for opening day? And specifically was told, no, show up the next day. My whole team's wearing matching shirts. And just gut punch, you know? And so just be prepared that you are going to feel that, but know that in feeling that, that should also give you a feeling of, okay, like, I'm doing what's right. Because if everybody was just like, oh, come to the dirty movies with us, come read this filthy book with us, that would be more concerning. So we're going to feel like a fish out of water because this is not our home. And just that's where you cling to your Christian friends, your church, and lean on them, especially if you're in a secular work environment.
I got a few. View everything as God is allowing it or permitting it with his loving purpose, even if you don't or can't see or think how. View any authority over you as being placed there by God. All right, those would be very incredible. And here's some ratios for you. You have two ears and one mouth. You need to listen twice as much as you talk, and you need to seek to understand twice as much over being heard and your viewpoint being understood. Also, the 2-to-1 ratio, think and act twice as much concerning what your responsibilities are as you do what you want for your rights and entitlements, and that'll get you really far.
I would echo what Kathy was talking about being on time. I'm going to use Christy as an example. She went back to work a year and a half ago after being home with our kids for over 20 years, And to this day, I don't think she's been late a day in her life to anything, right? Even coming up here, she's on me every Sunday morning. I'm more of a, I'll get there when I get there, right? But she also can't understand people that don't give 110% at every task, okay? I would model yourself after that, okay? 110%, it doesn't matter how menial the task is, 110%. And again, I'm gonna say this, I tell everybody this, if you don't know what you're doing, raise your hand. Don't go mess something up. Say, hey, look, can you show me? Can you teach me? If you're working somewhere that will not do that for you, you might not be working at the right place. But I've seen more people mess things up with good intention, 5 minutes of question and answer, and then we can get through the product or project and keep going. And just remember that God's always in control. He knows where you need to be when you need to be there.
Any final things? Once? Twice? All right. Let them know you appreciate them. Young adults, let them know you appreciate them. You guys are dismissed. Now, we do this not because any of us are experts up here, but just to give you all, as young adults, people you know you could go and talk to. Hopefully you have that already in your life, but there's other brothers and sisters around you can talk to. And then my closing encouragement and comment would be this. If you want to see what it's like to be a young person having to live for Christ in a difficult environment that was a job, but also was very difficult to faith, that made ethical and faithful decisions, trusted God with the promotions that came their way, and realized they didn't have to defend themselves and cut other people down. They could continue doing the right thing when people were around, the right thing when people weren't around. Look no further than, who am I talking about? Daniel, there we go. Somebody said it, right? He would be somebody you could look to and see, I wonder what it's like to be a follower of Christ and make a difference where I work. Daniel altered several kings' eternities. Not by being flashy and ostentatious, not by being the smartest guy in the room, by being humble, faithful, being a steward, but having character, and you can do that. Last thing, and we'll leave. I just want to echo the on-time part. One of my favorite stories is a friend of mine worked as an intern at a church, and one of the staff members showed up late, and this is a pretty large church. And he walks through the door to the staff meeting late, and I won't name the pastor, but he looked at everybody and said, oh, why don't you just stand back up? Guy stands up, and he goes, I want you to count how many people are around this room right now. Makes them count out loud. And he says, it was that many minutes for him, that many minutes for her, that many minutes for her. It just annihilates the guy in front of everybody. I'm not saying that's a good thing to do. How I said that, it's a lot of fun around here. When somebody's late, we'll be, that's 3 minutes for you, that's 3 minutes for you. So, but yeah, listen, we are good stewards of the Lord, and with his grace, we get to make a difference. And listen, all the details speak of grace in our life, or they'll speak of something else in our life. So to the young adults, be encouraged, step forward, step into what God has for you, and be a difference maker, and know the path you're treading, people have tread before you. And some of them have tread it in some very difficult situations. Some of them maybe had it easier by world standard, whatever it is. But realize there's people out there who know what you're going through as well. So be all you can be, not in the army, but in the workplace as a follower of Jesus Christ. No matter your station, you can be a great steward. I hope you have a great start to your week. You have the Word, you have the Spirit, you have the opportunity of prayer. It's so important. And then beyond that, we want to remember the people we're coming across are in our sphere of influence for a reason. I want to say thank you ahead of time to all the adults who are helping tonight with the youth lock-in. It's going to be a great time, and we appreciate you being faithful to that. Also, next Sunday is the Kettering Food Program meeting right after service. So if you're helping with that, that is right after service next Sunday morning. We'd love for you to be a part of that if you're going to be a help that week. Again, I hope you enjoy your week. You have small group, however you're meeting up for that. We have Wednesday at 11. You are dismissed.